When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
...128 years of West Ham United history. We've got another piece of history for you right now. Welcome to Ironcast, the club's official podcast. This is the first episode. These are the first few moments of the podcasting journey we're going to take you on. Let me introduce myself. My name is Chris Scholl, lifelong West Ham United fan, the voice and the face of the London Stadium, and of course, host of Ironcast. Let's meet my co-host, a cult hero, a legend of the modern era, the Ginger Pelé himself, James Collins, and Ginge, between us, the main event for this night. We're here at the Intercontinental Hotel at the O2 in London for the victory dinner. And we're sat between us is the Conference League trophy. Look at this, Ginge. How good is this?
I mean, it's still unreal. Just to see it sat there, it's bonkers. To think, looking back to the night I was out there in Prague and to where we've come and the time we've spent, but to see it there now and all get together to celebrate, it's incredible.
And we're going to have on this podcast for you, it's going to be a weekly podcast, and every week we're giving you exclusive interviews, exclusive insights, taking you inside the dressing room to meet the players, meet the staff, understand the fabric of West Ham United, previews of games, looking back at games, amazing victories. And I just want to point out, the first exclusive insight is about to come. There's all kind of drink residue inside this trophy. Bubbles from where people have been necking champagne out of this wonderful vessel.
It's probably lucky I'm not playing when they won that, because it probably wouldn't be here, to be fair. Or we'd be back in Newport, where I'm from. So nice. You know, the boys have clearly enjoyed themselves with it, I would say.
Yeah. And Ginge, obviously, you used to be a member of that West Ham United dressing room. You and Oggy go way back. You're looking forward to catching up with
them? Yeah, can't wait. You know, the boys, obviously, what an end of the year. You know, you couldn't write it. What went on? The boys have been away, lots gone on in the summer, so this is probably the first time we're all back together and seeing each other, and what a time to start the podcast. You know, the boys are on a high, getting back in, trophy to celebrate, and I'm sure everyone's here for a good night.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with the players. We're speaking to Jared Bowen, Pablo Fornals and Divine Mubama tonight, understanding what they've been up to over the summer and how they found the celebrations. But Ginger can't help but notice you've got a bit of a tan.
Yeah.
Speaking of holidays.
I've been in Newport. I've been home. It was very windy, and this is a wind tat. No, I've been away a little bit, recharged the batteries, and went away with the family and done a few bits of ball. Playing a lot of golf at the minute, Chris. So that's probably why. But yeah, it's the looking
handicap
forward.
Coming down.
Yeah. When I left West Ham, I was probably playing off. When I retired, I was probably playing off about 10 or 12, and I've got it down to 4 now.
Oh, so, that's good. There you go.
So if you ask my wife, I'm playing far too much golf. But it's going in the right direction, mate.
More exclusive insights to come in thick and fast. Well, look, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to get this thing going. We're going to take you inside of West Ham United over the coming weeks. And look, we're going to wrap up the intro now because we've only got the trophy for another couple of minutes and someone is going to come take it off us. So let's kick off with the episode. Here come the players.
Extra time possibly to come as well, and still some added time here at the end of this game for one of these teams to try and find a winner. Pacatar looking to release Bowen. Flag stays down. Bowen's through. One-on-one hits the shot and finds the back of the net. And the offside flag stays down. And the West Ham fans go absolutely berserk. There are plastic pint glasses going everywhere inside the stadium. All of the West Ham substitutes, the coaching staff, come tearing onto the field.
Welcome to the first guest on West Ham United's official podcast, the hero of the hour, Jared Bowen. Welcome. You're the first guest. It must feel like a tremendous honour, right?
Special, yeah. Especially to be with you and Big Ginge. Beautiful.
Last time I saw you, we were on the balcony of Stratford Town Hall. You had a bucket hat on, those cool little Liam Gallagher glasses. No, yeah. I think you'd had a couple of beers as well.
Can you actually remember that?
Yeah, no, deck? I can remember it all, yeah. I wasn't like falling over when I got home, but I think it was constant for 48. I think I drank for 48. I think I slept for 2 hours in Prague. I actually FaceTimed my mum and my missus. My missus was waking up for the morning feed with the babies, and my mum was going to school because she's a school teacher. And I said, oh, what are you doing? They're like, I'm just getting ready for the day. What are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm just chilling, just drinking.
Were they all buzzing though?
Yeah, they knew because I said like after the game, like if we won it, like the celebration's gonna be minute.
They knew what it was gonna
so,
be.
So, but yeah, on a school run and my missus doing the feed, I think they were like, what are you doing?
And now, how were you feeling when you got on that bus and you started seeing those crowds in East London coming through?
Yeah, I really didn't know the area still, so I didn't know where we were driving to. So I was just like, right, where are we going here? And there was just people. Like, I thought, oh, can't be far now. And then we just went to somewhere else, and it was just busy everywhere. And like, I think I swear quite in the summer. Like, I think it just put into perspective how big the club. Like, I don't think you realise until, obviously, you see it on like a match day, you see it in the away support and that, but. I think until you win something, you see, like, I don't know, the parade that's never been probably done for, never had the opportunity to do it for so many years. You see how many fans like are just die hard, and we were just driving through like, this is absolutely like mental.
I know. And I remember like being on stage really in the Stratford Town Hall, like introducing you, and there's the thousands you could see off that balcony, yeah. And them all going crazy and chanting your name.
Yeah, yeah. No, that role was, that was.
You're sick of the song yet?
Nah, my missus is a bit like, oh, come on now. I've heard it about 100 times now. But to be fair, in my defence, I did score and like it was on everywhere.
Exactly.
So, that's a good defence.
She's got to take it. She still laughs about it. But yeah, it was. But even my mates were like coming around. We had like a party after and they just played it for about an hour.
I've come down. My kids come downstairs in the morning singing it. It's like, Jay as well.
I've got a three-year-old who sings it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we still have a laugh. And she still loves it and still laughs it. I think it was just that week of when it was on repeat.
Yeah, constant.
She was like, right, come on. So your song's going to go off
now. Turn your own song off the radio and off the...
Get your mates to turn it off.
Speaking of family parties, the father-in-law-to-be, did he roll out the red carpet for you?
I kind of seen them all together because I kind of done like a joint thing because my family hadn't met the babies yet. So it was kind of like a double celebration the babies, meeting and then the celebration of Prague. And then obviously my missus' family came in. So we kind of all embedded it into
That must have been carnage now.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was mental.
On top of the kids and the family. And
the good thing though, like my nan, my auntie, like her son, were just there like, putting everything away and looking after the babies. I was like, right, see you later. See you Sunday or something. Yeah. This was the Friday. I was like, right, I'll see you Monday morning then. But nah, it was, he was over the moon.
Big congratulations, mate. Our twins in the summer. But that was,
this has been the ultimate year anyone can have. Like, you're living the dream. Where'd you go from? What you got? What's next?
Have you got kids?
I haven't got twins.
That's not living the dream. It's special. It's beautiful, but it's double the crying. So imagine the crying and times it by two. It was end of May, so it was just before the Leicester game. So I travelled to the Leicester game at the weekend. I think we went on the Friday because it was a Saturday game or a Sunday, so I travelled the night before. And then it was a 4 o'clock kickoff, so I got back late. So I've kind of gone the Saturday and the Sunday. The Monday we've gone to Portugal until Thursday, I want to say. And then I've had the weekend and then obviously gone to Prague on the Monday. So I've probably, when they've been born, I've probably only seen them for about 3 days and then obviously had longer. So the first 2-3 weeks, I didn't really see them. So that's why it's been nice in the off season. We didn't go away. We were just at home and just to spend time with them and just spend time with my missus, spend time with, you know, the kids and just have that proper quality time that we, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's the sacrifices you're making that you don't see them as much as you probably want to at the start, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
You'll see them a lot when you finish.
Too much?
Oh, Jesus. Making excuses to get
Well, now that's what I say. This is the optional hotel stays now. I'm there day before a game. I'm in the hotel every time.
Anyone want to stay? Yes, please.
Gaffer, 2 days before a game next time?
All week? Yep, I'm there. But no, it's been a different pre-season, but the whole kind of last 4 months have been unbelievable. Changed my life forever.
And here we are at the kind of victory dinner and now back in amongst the West Ham fans. Does it feel real? Like, what West Ham fans come up and saying to you? You've given them one of the greatest moments of their lives. So I speaking for myself, one of the greatest moments of my life too.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be like responsible for that?
Yeah, no, I'm quite a shy person. So when people come up to me and say, I'm like, I don't really know what to say. I'm like, what do I say? Yeah, kind of thing. But obviously to see what it means to people. For me, it probably didn't sink in for a while. So I didn't believe it kind of thing, if that makes sense. It's a hard thing to explain when you're when I scored the goal, like, obviously I was over the moon, and but I just felt every emotion. Like, it just felt like such a blur. And
do you actually remember the ball coming through and you being in on goal thinking?
Yeah, no, I remember.
Do you remember, like,
having the touch? And I remember the defender steaming back.
Yeah, he was coming back, yeah.
And I knew the keeper was coming out, and if he goes down and if I get a little bit of
lift it
on the ball, then he's not going to be able to save it. And but that was like slow motion as well. Like, I knew it was late. I knew there was, like, I thought it was going to actually, you know, on the pitch, you're like, oh, this game's got nothing in it now. It's going extra time. Let's just, I think you can make that run 10 times again. You get it once.
I was saying that, Chris, as well. That don't happen to us. I was in the stand that night. Somehow I ended up on the pitch. I don't know how. That kind of beers in after the game. But I remember being there going, this don't happen to us.
Nah.
West Ham don't get to finals. We don't score last minute goals.
Yeah.
And it was just,
we done both.
Done both. Like, honestly, mate, it was
just the videos that I've seen. Like, obviously, when you're there, you know the celebration. But I think when you watch it from, like, not a bird's eye view, but like a TV camera or like different footage, and you see that behind the goal.
Like, to see that, like, that's probably the first game I'd been to where I'd been in it, not on that level, but as in a crowd for big moments. And it was just off the charts. I went back to my missus. I've got three kids and been married and happily married. I went, it's the best day of my life.
I've got no shame in telling you why I did that.
Love you guys, but it's the best day of my life. And
yeah, that was a big debate amongst fans. Yeah, like, was this better than the birth of my kids?
It just goes to show how special it was for everyone. Yeah. Like, my dad and my brother were front row, and they've been to my games all around, like England games, different games, like my first championship game, my first Premier League game, first goals. They said that day was just, even the build-up, they said the whole feel around the place. He said, I knew you was going to win the trophy. I didn't want to tell you that before the game, but he said the feeling of the whole fans and what it could mean and how special it would be. He said, I knew you'd win.
I heard that from around the coaching staff, that the players before the game, you were all like, we're going to win this. Like, there was a lot of confidence. Did you feel like that?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we felt confident because we'd done so well to get where we were. We knew that we'd had some good results, good performances. But of course, you go into the game with confidence. You don't get to a final by, you know, not going there with confidence. But for me, anyway, on the day of the game, I was getting a little bit, you know, about 1 o'clock, I was getting a bit nervous.
I was going to say, like, you were nervous. Do you get nervous before games?
I didn't sleep before the game.
Did you not? Didn't you?
And I always sleep for about two and a half hours.
What, as in, like, the day of the game? Yeah, like, the nap, so after
say,
up,
say we play an 8 o'clock game, we'll be training in the morning hotel, I'll sleep for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep. I felt sick. I was like,
really?
I was thinking of all the things that could happen.
Did you think of what did actually happen? Did you?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Because I always think I want to score.
Score a winner. Yeah.
I want to score. But I was lying down, and I just felt awake, but I was shattered. And I just lie down like that.
And then went out for 2 days after that.
Yeah, you're not sleeping before the game. You must have got like 2 hours sleep in 3 days.
Then I was getting excited. Really? Like, I was getting like revved up. Because the gaffer showed us, but this was the night before. So the night before the game, like, all the families, like the wives, the kids, the partner, everyone, they've done like little videos for the lads.
Oh, nice.
The night before the game.
Yeah. A few tears, was there? Because you hadn't seen them that
much. Yeah, there was a few tears. We didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And it's the night before the biggest game of probably our career. Yeah. I think if he showed it on the day of the game, we'd have had red cards. Because I think people would have literally
fired up.
Yeah.
The gaffer.
He needed to calm down.
The lads, from the gaffer.
Honestly, we had dinner and then people cutting at their chicken. But no, honestly, that video was... But then it starts to feel more real. Like, you start to think, right, this is what it means to everyone. This is... Because I think when you're in your bubble, you'll know. It's hard to know what it means to everyone else because you're just fixing that bubble. Obviously, you want to win. Yeah. You don't get a feeling of what it means to, you know, you see your kids and that, like, laughing, your partners, good luck and that. So we all had, like, our rooms. And on thing, there was a picture of the twins on there as well, of my twins, like, as I walked in.
I hope,
like,
they would know what they are. Yes. With a random set of twins.
Yeah, the Cray twins.
The Cray twins on the set.
I think they put a picture of, like, the kids and, like, me.
What, the whole dad on that?
Yeah, yeah, in our rooms. Brilliant. And I think all the lads got them.
Oh, nice.
Different picture, not my twins. Like, all their family. So as you walked in, it kind of then felt like home. So I think we went on the Monday, so we was there for a good couple of days. So sometimes when you got a final, you can kind of, like, can get on your mind a bit. But so it kind of made you feel a bit more relaxed. I had my PlayStation, I had like pictures there. I did feel kind of like I was at home, which is obviously good for a final. Don't get you too revved up. But the day of the game, now I was
we're gonna let you crack on. But firstly, I'm gonna ask a favor. You sign my shirt, please. Last player I asked to sign a shirt was probably John Moncur around 1995.
Lovely.
You got a pen?
Where do you want it, up here?
Yeah, go on then.
Two or...?
Why not? I said we're two. Two, Chris, not ginger on stick.
That's beautiful.
That is perfect.
Was just about to run.
Just about going as well.
Brilliant.
Jay, you're a good man.
Thank you for the memories.
Thank you for the interview. Cheers, Jay. Top man, mate. See you later, man.
All right, that was Jared Bowen. James, that was a good chat, wasn't it?
Great chat, man. I just love him. He's just a good guy.
Yeah.
Tremendous footballer, just a good guy. I've got a few stories on Jared. He moved to Stansted and I was out in Stansted and he was randomly in the pub that I was in and we had a good night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Random story, but proper fella.
I think we might see in our lifetime a Jared Bowen statue. Just between us. Keep it just between us and the listeners of Ironcast.
I'm glad you've said it when he's not here because I'm not sure he'd agree.
Let's hope so. Well, another man who might end up with a statue. Who knows if we keep winning trophies? Divine Mubama. He's our next guest. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Ironcast. If you're a West Ham fan and you want to see the West Ham United official podcast higher up the charts than, say, the likes of the official Tottenham podcast, what you need to do is leave us a rating and review. It really helps with the discoverability, that's a technical term, of this podcast. So if you wouldn't mind, if you're a West Ham fan, give us 5 stars and leave a rating and review if you can. Back on with the podcast. Next up on Ironcast, Divine Mubama. You're just fresh from being on stage where you collected award for Young Player of the Tournament. How did your acceptance speech go?
I didn't have to do a speech, to be fair.
What? Listen up.
Nah, I didn't have to do a speech.
You said it all on the pitch?
Yeah, literally.
What, as in by choice or just...
No, I didn't have to do a speech, just the picture.
You got a mic in your hand?
Yeah.
See your speech?
What, proper speech, yeah.
Nah. I'll tell you what. You do need to do a speech to justify those trainers. The trainers and
the suit. Well, you're
not reading them. They're so white.
Yeah, I get the look, but I thought, like, club do, put a pair of shoes on. Put a pair of socks on, guys.
Bro, I've got socks. Hey, don't do that. I've got socks.
Let's talk about last season. You had an amazing season. I mean, you won, the Premier League South under-18s, the FA Youth Cup, and, of course, you were in the squad there and abouts for the Conference League as well. How was it for you?
I think last season was, you know, overall great experience and everything. So as you said, like a lot of winning.
A lot of medals.
Yeah, a lot of medals.
Oh, must be getting sick of it.
And, you know, it was even better to do it with, you know, like a group of friends. You know, some of the boys have been here since 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. And, you know, going through the age group, you know, we always spoke about winning the Youth Cup and, you know, how big it would be. And, you know, so do it with a group of friends was quality. It was good.
And also at the Emirates, packed for the West Ham fans.
It was sick.
It felt like a home game, didn't it?
Yeah, that was sick. You know, they were loud and, you know, the support. And what was it? What was the last time we were in the Youth Cup final?
99. I was going to go 98. Joe, 99. Joe Carr.
Nods, 99.
Yeah, so.
I think I was as young as you then.
Really?
I remember watching that. I remember watching the West Ham boys, that sort of age.
And you go on to, we talk about 99. Yeah. Look at what those players went on to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it must give you so much optimism for your career.
I think it gives all of us a drive. You know, we got a little taste of winning and, you know, fortunate for me, I was able to, you know, the gaffer took me to Prague and, you know, experienced that that feeling of winning and, you know, what it means and being 18 years of age and, like, yeah, no one can take that away from me now and, you know, I've experienced it and, yeah, hopefully I can carry it on into my career.
Do you know that, like, first away trip, the first training session the gaffer took you on, was it a bit like, wow, this is happening now? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, we're nervous? Going up, what was the first thing, like training with the first team, was it, or going away?
So my first session was pre-season
Evian. Last year.
Yeah. But in my mind, I was like, I weren't nervous, but I was like ready.
Yeah.
Like,
that's good.
Ready and excited to impress. And, you know, I thought I'd done that. And I think, James, you will know, training is the most important thing.
Call me Ginge, by the way.
Oh,
that's a James.
Yeah, it's fine. James is fine, but everyone calls him Ginge.
Oh, Ginge.
But whenever someone calls me James, I feel like I'm in trouble, yeah?
Your dinner's ready.
I feel like my mum's shouting at me. Like, I know.
Every time I get called over, you know, when I'm training with the 21s, I just make sure that you have to be on it.
That's what I'm on that.
Yeah. And just be ready, because... You know, chance, like, you never know. You know, there was one point in the season where, you know, the strikers were injured and, you know, at one point I was licking my fingers.
Love it.
I was licking my fingers and ready. Yeah, it's good. Good experience. That's unreal,
like, and I mean, you've broken into the first team. You're scoring goals. How excited are you for this season? Everything I hear is like, all the coaching staff, everyone's talking really excitedly about you. How are you feeling?
Obviously, I'm excited as you guys are. But you know, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself, and you know, think that you're better than what you are, and or little stuff like, you know, overthinking stuff. And no, I just want to go into the season. You know, we'll see how it goes, and I feel ready, and you know, I feel sharp. So we'll see.
And after Prague and everything, were you just couldn't wait to get the team back together again? Like, how was that first session after the summer?
Can I ask something about Prague? Was you allowed out with the boys after the final?
Yeah.
Was you? I can tell by the smile, Gazer. Love it.
No, that was good as well.
It was such an amazing experience in Prague. You're a big part of it. Like, you had the summer break, but were you just raring to get back in and get the lads back together again?
You know, I think after Prague, it was just like, you know, it was like a little taster, just a little feeling. And, you know, I was ready to get back in pre-season. And, you know, it was a short off-season. And now I was ready to get back to work, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm ready.
Do you have a bit of time off? Do you constantly keep, like, when I was playing, it was have your time off, don't do nothing. Yeah. But you boys got to keep yourself fit constantly now, have you? Did you do a little bit before you come back?
I think I've always been fit since I was a kid as well, anyway, naturally. But, no, I think, you know, as well as me, you know, you've got to be ready for pre-season.
I used to put about 3 stone on in the sun and come back and try
don't,
and lose it.
Don't listen to his generation of pros, Divine Line.
He's a good hands.
Amazing. Well, congratulations on all the trophies you won last season and Prague and the trophy you've won tonight. Look forward to seeing what you can do this season.
Thank you very much.
Divine Mubama, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Divine Mubama, what a man. I'm excited to see him playing this season. Little bit of insight, viewers, or listeners rather. Players are coming out from the award ceremonies and they're dropping back in. Ginge, somehow, he hasn't eaten the whole time this is going on. I can see you're getting paid. You might pass out.
I'm more concerned about having a pint after this, how it's going to affect me when I have no food. I don't eat too much, but I'm all good.
Also, there was a little bit of a delay because Divine wanted to finish his dinner before he came out. That must have been galling for you.
I mean, I walked past my dinner to sit here with you guys and wait for Divine, and he's eating, and I'm still not eating.
He's got a big future ahead of him, isn't he?
Yeah, tremendous. Just by listening to him, you can tell he's got the... And I think that's all the young lads at West Ham I've spoken to. He's just got the right attitude. Do you know what I mean? He speaks well, you know, the way he talks about his own game, the way he talks about his teammates, the way he talks about the staff. You know, it's great to hear because, you know, you don't get taught that. That's sort of embedded in you through West Ham. And it's great to see. And, you know, he's a good lad. He's a tremendous talent. And there's no doubt he's going to score a lot of goals for West Ham.
Yeah, lovely bloke. Here comes another lovely bloke. Everyone around West Ham loves this man. I include myself in that. Here comes Pablo Fornals.
And West Ham desperately trying to keep Altmar away from their goal, and they've done that. And Pablo Fornals might be able to finish this off, bringing the ball forward. Finds the bottom corner. Pablo Fornals sends West Ham into a first major European final for almost half a century. David Moyes, the manager, cannot contain his delight. He's out there with his substitutes, with his coaching staff, both arms in the air, celebrating the goal, celebrating the win, unbeaten in this competition this season. And they've come here to Altmar and beaten them, and they'll be in the final in Prague.
First episode of Ironcast. Third guest is Pablo Fornals. How are you doing?
Hi, very good. Very good, thank you.
Big year you've had. Got married. Won a European trophy. How was it for you?
Well, not a good year, but a really good month.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was another amazing season here in West Ham. Like, another season in European football. Next one, we achieve one cup for the club. That is amazing, and everyone can see what it means for the club and for East London. So I think it's the best season I've been in here, for sure.
Yeah, that semi-final, last minute, Altmar, that goal, that iconic photo of you stood in front of the away fans with your arms outstretched. Have you bought that photo yet?
Yeah, I have it for sure, yeah. Honestly, just today, if you check on my Twitter, it changed the picture, and it's that picture. Yeah. But we always want to play, and in such a big game like that, and I was a bit feeling it like bad myself, but talking with the media people, they were trying to make me laugh and that, and I say, remember, I'm gonna score and I'm gonna open my arms in front of the crowd. And I say to Emily and also to Dan, they were there. And yeah, in the moment when I scored that goal, it was a moment when I start running, doing like this, but I wanted to do, as always, like the celebration, but come to my mind, like, go there, and it's an iconic, an iconic picture.
So did you visualise that happening? Did you kind of imagine it happening like that?
I think I just was a bit rude. Like, I was like, gonna do it.
Have that.
Did already was going through for the goal, was you... Did you not, like, or once, just instinct? Or
once the ball passed through the legs,
yeah.
I already knew
you
it.
Knew what was
happening.
You knew it was going in?
Not that close to the post, or because it wasn't a great contact at the end, went through the goal. So, yeah, but, yeah, I knew it. It went to end in, inside the goalie.
Because it was a nutmeg, right? You nutmeg.
I didn't try it on purpose, but
yeah, you knew I tried to knock it behind
to get that bounce, yeah.
And that finish into the corner. What were the celebrations like in Alkmaar after the game? We've seen some of the videos.
Is that the one with Nobes with the beers?
Nobes is coming in with the trays of beers and the songs.
For me, it was really bad because I got selected for anti-doping.
Oh, drug test.
Oh, no!
And it was both. It was wee and also blood.
So double thing.
They didn't allow even to take a beer, so...
How long did you finish the doping?
I finished when all of them were in the bus.
Oh, really?
No!
Yeah. So I couldn't enjoy it.
Oh, man.
Made up for it, though, the final.
Yeah, I did.
What was the final like for you?
Same as for everyone. Like, I think it wasn't but like all the finals, it wasn't a great game to watch or to enjoy. But at the end, we are that lucky to have players as we have, that they can change a game in 2 seconds. Like, once you leave Paquetá time to think and runners, you're done. I don't want to say that.
I know what word you're thinking of.
you killed us a defense because he's such a great bowler. And also Jarrod, finishing is unreal. So it was our best passer with our best scorer, so done.
Talk to me about
Paquetá. It's what it is. It's what you say in videos, always smiling, trying to dance.
Trying to dance.
You know how to dance. But yeah, it's like that. It's always imagine and reproducing great actions in training or same as in the game. So be with him. Sometimes he's a bit like, come on, don't do it on me, or you're waiting because if you're not making it, it's like, oh, come on. But
how have you found pre-season?
It's to suffer, no?
Yeah, it should be. Like, that's what I was thinking. Is it the same?
Yeah. It's what it is. Then we went to Australia. It's what I said before. Like, if it's not for football, for sure, I never been in Australia. St. George or St. Andrews, no? It's called St. Andrews in Scotland, like we go in most of times, but it's a very big opportunity also for us to know a different continent, countries. We have this dancing from the people over there, playing against teams or guys that probably we're never going to see again. So it's nice.
I wanted to ask about the final. The final was on the Wednesday. Open top bus parade on the Thursday. You get married on the Friday.
That's it.
You must have been knackered. And like, how did you not fall asleep at the altar?
So these days I was good, but the day after the wedding, I started with headache, something, some marks to the lack of sleep. But what an amazing 3 days, I swear. Best 3 days of my life.
Was your wife... fiance at the final as well? No. Doing the wedding, yeah?
In the final, it was no one from my side who could come there because it was really difficult to get a flight after from Prague till Spain and arrive to the wedding.
How many of the boys went to the wedding? I know Nobes. I speak to Nobes.
They came, the players came, Connor, Ben, Chris, Nobes, Mikey, Angelo, David Martin, but also people from the staff as well, Billy, some people from media, Dan, also Charlie, George, from the player care. So I felt really loved seeing the lads, because I was in that situation because it was my wedding, but they came to my wedding with the same lack of sleep.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
You did a really funny Instagram post, I think. Just a bus driver saying, "Don't worry, I'll be at the wedding."
I'll be there.
Was everyone worried? Your wife must have been like, "You are okay."
No, I arrived at the same time, so she saw me the night before, like, I arrived. No worries, I'm here, yeah?
Sleep.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Pablo, thank you so much for the goal in Alkmaar, for the celebrations in Prague. Congratulations on the wedding, and we can't wait to see what you do on the pitch this season. That's it from the first ever episode of Ironcast. Thank you to my co-host, the Ginger Pele. Did you enjoy it?
Loved it. Can't wait for the next one.
There we go. More insights coming your way. Stick right here on Ironcast. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you again very soon. Come on, you Irons.
Podcast Network.